I bring you greetings from Charlotte, which is just down the road a ways. I found out exactly how far it was today. But I'm excited to be here, and I feel the warmth in this place. I feel the camaraderie and the friendship among the members of this church. And as the light shines through, I'm thinking of the fact that I just came from cold country this week. I was actually out of the Carolinas. I was visiting in New York. It was an awesome experience. But it did snow on Thursday. And about a year ago, I made a trip on vacation, and I fell, and I have paid the price for about a year. I'm still hobbling around a little bit, but I was nervous about walking in the snow. And so it's nice to come back to the warmth. But I did bring a lot of information, and it broadened my horizons by being in New York this week because, you know, sometimes we get wrapped up in our own little world. And we have a very small sphere of influence, and yet it is where God has planted us for whatever reason. But I went to these meetings at the United Nations building, and I had the privilege of meeting a lot of women who had come there from all over the world. And it was a caucus, it was a commission on the status of women worldwide. And as you know, even though this is the 21st century, there are still atrocities that go on around our world. And we even have them in this country, I mean, in the form of domestic violence, which mostly, you know, children are the victims of that. While I was in New York, there was a terrible thing that happened that a child was witness to. And I think of all the women who came to these meetings hoping to come up with some kind of legislation in their country that helps them be something other than victims. Our country, primarily in Florida and Texas, those are the two main states in our country that are involved in human trafficking. And what I mean by this is primarily children and women are brought from other countries, and we accept them in to participate in prostitution and the likes of that. It's hard to believe. You can hardly wrap your mind around some of the things that you learn during a week's time. You know, it's just how people aren't even protected by laws in their country. And even when people are murdered and tortured, they don't even get protection from their government. And many times there are people that work in the United Nations that work in the area of human rights. And this is human rights. I mean, just to think that as a human being, you don't have any recourse, you know, to protect yourself, that you are treated worse than animals. And so many children are involved in this. And so there are people on the front lines. I guess the message I want to bring from this experience is that there are people who are fighting for human rights in this area. And I'm proud to say that we as Seventh-day Adventists are involved in that as well. There were two ladies there from the General Conference, and I got to visit the General Conference office. It's right in a building adjacent, Well, actually, it's across the street from the United Nations building on the ninth floor where they had a lot of these meetings. Interestingly enough, you know, just meeting people from around the world is an experience in itself. I had the occasion to talk to a woman from Bangladesh, which I was taking a lunch break, and we started sharing, you know, just about the Lord and how He was coming soon. And she asked me who I was affiliated with, and I was proud to say, you know, Seventh-day Adventist. And she was there with a group of Episcopal women. And, of course, the minute that I said that, it's just amazing to see how many people know who Seventh-day Adventists are. You know, the immediate words that came out of her mouth were, "Oh, Loma Linda, yes, I know about Seventh-day Adventist. I know about your health, you know, message." In fact, she had taken training in the health arena, actually in the Philippines. And she was a professional woman. I believe she was a doctor, although she didn't come out and really say that. But I was just kind of guessing that from the way she was dressed and so forth. But we were just sharing about how, you know, the Lord is blessing and He definitely has a purpose for our life. I truly believe that. I believe in prayer, and I also believe in the quote, and I'm sure you all know it, from Ministry of Healing, that God has a way, and sometimes we lose sight of this, you know, when we think of our mission and our passion for being here. But the Lord has so many ways, 1,000 ways, of intervening in our behalf, in ways in which we have no knowledge of. And that is where our faith comes into play. And just being able to share that faith that we have in Jesus, the hope of glory to other people, is such a privilege, is it not? It is such a privilege. Last Sunday, whenever I was trying to fly out of Charlotte to New York City, I never realized how many people on a Sunday went to New York City until, I have to confess, I somehow misread my ticket, and I had made a lot of inquiries into the best route to go and the best airline to take and all this, and so I had all these numbers scrambling in my head, but I was in a hurry Sunday morning, so much so that I was daydreaming a little bit and I missed my exit. And so instead of my flight being at 9:40, and I got there about 10 minutes till 9, needless to say, I kind of got bumped from a flight and I had to stand by the rest of the day until 9 o'clock that evening. And every time, have you ever had to pass ride? In other words, you don't have a definite seat on the plane. It's kind of a scary thing. There could be a lot of spiritual lessons out of this, that as you see everybody filing in, taking that trip, you're kind of left behind, and they don't call your name, and your stomach sinks again, and you say, okay, maybe I'll get on the next one. But it became apparent to me why I had missed all the flights that day whenever I got home that night. And I just kind of, you know, I mean, I wasn't grumbling. I just figured, you know, I mean, I was reading, I was working, I was making phone calls. You know how we try to take advantage of every moment. And working crossword puzzles, whatever. And then whenever I got home that night, I realized that I had left a candle burning in my home. And had I taken off and been gone for a week, who knows what could have happened to that candle. Because by the time I got home, it was like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It was not straight up. it was kind of dripping down on my television that was made out of wood. So, you know, I just praise the Lord that, you know, sometimes, and I've been guilty of this before, too many times to mention, how when things don't go according to our plan, you know, our schedules, our daily schedules, we have an agenda in our minds of how it's going to transpire, and then we get off track for whatever reason. I had lit that candle, actually, on Friday afternoon because I was trying to sell my house, and I wanted it to smell good. And so, you know, I'm just reminded, I'm reminded so many times of how much God loves us, and He does care about the details in our lives. You know, and yet, you know, you remember the story in the New Testament, I think it was in the chapter of Luke, where this man had asked for his child to be healed. And he proceeded to make the statement after the child was healed. He said to God, "God, forgive my unbelief." And I believe that small sentence, that statement by that man, is in the Bible for a reason, because how many times have I been able to relate to that? God, forgive my unbelief, because in my humanity, I wish it were possible to think like God. Don't you? Because the prophet Isaiah reminds us that we are not familiar with God's ways. We might have the tip of the iceberg, the very tip, but we cannot even comprehend how much God loves us, you know, and how much He cares about us. And so, as I made the trip the next day, I was able to fly out after I got a great night's sleep. And then I realized at the end of the flight to New York that maybe God had another purpose that day, that Sunday, turned out the way it did. February 26, Sunday, 2006. Because I, in the course of the trip, I met a gentleman who was sitting right beside me. And I'm getting braver and braver as I travel, because Brenda Walsh, I don't know if you have seen her on 3ABN or if you've read her new book. She's actually going to be the speaker for the women's retreat this year. She has written a book called From Battered to Blessed. And interestingly enough, there was a man in the conference, Louis Canosa, who met her at camp meeting and read her book, and came to the office one day and he said, "Debbie, you need to meet this woman. You know, she has written a wonderful book. And I just think that you might want to have her at one of your women's events." And so this suggestion came from a man that I have known very well through the years. In fact, I used to work for Louis Canosa when he was at the office. But Brenda has been in the conference two or three times now, and she shares her story of abuse. She married a man who was not an Adventist. He was a policeman, and she tells her story, and then she leaves you with the impression how much God has used those circumstances to bless her and others that she comes into contact with. And so she always prays every time she gets on the airplane that the Lord will place somebody in her path. Do you do that? Do you do that on a daily basis, that, you know, God has someone for you to encounter, a divine appointment, if you will? And so if you start praying that, the Lord will give you more and more stories to share, and He will give you evidence of His presence in your life. And so that particular day, because of the way Sunday had gone, I prayed that I would meet someone that I could witness to or minister to or something. And there was a young African-American man who was sitting beside me, and we started talking, and he was the manager for a gospel singer, and he travels all over the country and out of the United States as well. And he instantly said to me, which was affirmation for me, he said, "You know," he said, "this is divine providence that I would be sitting by you," because I told him that I worked for the Seventh-day Adventist Church and I was involved in women's ministries, and that I work in the communication department, and I just, you know, love what I do. And he started talking about, "Well, you know," he said, "you kind of sound like my girlfriend." And I said, "Oh, I do." And he said, "Yes, but," he said, "I have to confess," he said, "I just get frustrated with her." He said, "because she talks about all the time, nonstop, about how she feels like she is not doing the passion that God has called her to do." And I said, "Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing." And he says, "Well, no," he said, "she wants to just be sharing. She wants to be sharing the gospel all the time in everything that she does." And he said, "Her mother is very active in Christian ministries, and she's very involved in the grassroots kind of things, you know, in community services and all these kind of things where she gets in there and she gets her hands dirty and she feeds the homeless, and then she goes out and she just can't contain herself, that she has to share what God is doing." And he said, I don't know how to relate to that, because I wish I had an answer for her." And he said, "but she has this passion to do something. And she started off doing small things. You know, she started working with feeding the homeless." And I said, "do you know how many years some people wait in their lives before they find their passion, why they're here, their purpose, their personal mission statement, if you will? This morning, do you have a personal mission statement? Do you know why God has brought you into existence in this church in Aiken, South Carolina?" I was thrilled to talk to him about his girlfriend, and I gave him my email, and I plan on getting in touch with her too, just to share what the Lord is doing in her life and how he is leading and so forth. And you never know. You never know what will come out of a situation, especially when you have those divine appointments that you know God has placed you in. And so today, when you think about your prayers, I know many of us go to the throne of grace, and we have all sorts of petitions, don't we? "Lord, bless so-and-so. I know that you're praying for people that maybe have drifted away from the church. Maybe your own loved ones who you want to see sitting on these pews. I know that you have maybe the gift of prayer, of intercession for others. You know that is a gift, don't you? That is one of the spiritual gifts that many of us have. You are drawn to the foot of the cross, and you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that you were placed here to pray for the members of your church, to pray for the pastor and his family, to pray for all of those in leadership. But don't forget to pray for yourself and for your passion, that God will fulfill that in you. And I don't care how old you are. There's a woman in South Carolina that I met in December that has a radio station, and She has known trial. She has known disaster in her life. She is in her 80s. She joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church in her 70s. Her son committed suicide in her driveway after she came into the church. But you know what she said to me? She said, "You know, the Lord gave me the last few minutes that I had with Him on earth. And He was conscious, and I was able to talk to Him about the Savior and seeing Him in heaven, and He told me He wanted to be there, that He loved Jesus." And she said, "God gave me that, you know? He did." And she said, "From here on out, I will sing His praises because He gave me those last 10 minutes with my son." And she said, That is why I have to get on the airwaves. I have to share how good and merciful and wonderful God has been to me in my life." And so every Sunday, there she is. I think she's 82 or 83 or 84. One of those numbers. And she talks people into her church, into going there and help her on Sunday afternoons. At the last Women's Ministries event, she brought somebody that she had met through her radio ministry. And she's bringing people into the church there in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Could she have looked at that as though that were a tragedy in her life? Absolutely. Did the devil want her to stop in her tracks? Absolutely. Did she know the God that was more powerful than anything that could bring her through those circumstances? And like Paul, who had been imprisoned and impoverished and desolate, could she say with him, "Let me thank God for whatever circumstances I am in. Let me praise Him. Let me continue to work out His will in my life." Because, you know, in Joel 2, if you get a chance this afternoon, read chapter 2 of Joel. It's the one that talks about how, you know, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit among His people, among His sons and daughters. He will pour out His Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, God is pouring out His Spirit in these last days. And He is pouring out His Spirit among all of us. Not just some of us, all of us. The same way He did with a very important woman in the Bible. You know the familiar story in John chapter 4, don't you? The woman at the well. This was a divine appointment with God. And rather than belittle this woman of Samaria, Jesus affirmed her ability to grasp spiritual truth. This was a woman who came to the well that day at a time when nobody would see her because she was ashamed of who she was. She didn't recognize her significance in the eyes of God. She didn't recognize that God had her on this earth for a purpose. Of sharing His glory, of sharing His wisdom, of sharing His gospel and His love. She didn't get it until she met Him at the well that day. In fact, when He explained to her in verses 23 and 24 of John chapter 4, He tells her the hour cometh when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You see, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, that day that she met Jesus at the well, Jesus looked beyond all of her failures, and we all have them. Mine are too many to count. And I tell you, every day I have a heart that needs cleansing like none other. Like none other. Every day I pray Psalm 51, Lord, create in me a clean heart so that I can be a vessel that's worthy to be used of you. Jesus looked beyond her shortcomings and saw the deep spiritual hunger that was inside her heart. You know, the psalmist wrote that my soul pants like a deer for the presence of God in my life. Does your heart and soul just, can you hardly contain yourself? Do you pant because you want to know God better in your life? Someone has said that God is the knowing and prayer is the going and obedience is the growing. I'm reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Don't you think many times that we really kind of underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do? Do we shorten His hand sometimes? But what a wonderful encounter it was that day with the woman at the well. It was life-changing. Just like the Scripture describes, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When the conversation with Jesus continued, and the Lord revealed to her sins and told her all about herself, it didn't matter to Him what had transpired in her life. You know, because God can restore that which the locusts have eaten in our life. When you're praying for those people in your life and in your church that seem to be wandering in the wilderness, they're on their way back. Just claim it for them, because God can restore them. I don't care if there has been a famine in your life, spiritually, and you are in the desert. God can restore that through His Spirit. He revealed to her that He was the Messiah in verse 26. And you know what? She couldn't contain herself after that. She had to go out and convert a village. It was water. She was thirsting that day, but it was water from the Savior, from the Messiah. And it was overflowing in her vessel. In the book Christian Service, page 97, we read, "The Samaritan woman who talked with Jesus at Jacob's well had no sooner found the Savior than she brought others to Him." It has been said that she proved herself a more effective missionary than His own disciples. This is what is written in the book Christian Service. In fact, when the disciples arrived on the scene in Samaria, you will remember very vividly in chapter 4, the disciples felt that that was no great place to be. In fact, they were not very impressed at all. They were so unimpressed, they went into the village to buy food. In fact, they didn't really understand why Jesus was wasting his time there. And you can imagine how they felt when they walked back into the village and there he was talking with this woman of Samaria. And yet, they could not see that right before them was a harvest to be gathered. And don't you think sometimes that's the way that we think when it comes to our service for God? We might think that, oh, well, you know, I'm just this little speck on the universe. What difference can I make? And yet for all, we know the power of one. Don't we? She ran to the people of Samaria and she said, "Today I have met a man who knows everything about me. Everything. And he loves me. He absolutely loves me. And you must meet him too. You must go and see for yourself." That's just like our experience with other people. You know, I have children that are not in the church. I want to bring them so badly to that fountain of grace that I can taste it. I crave that experience. I crave that I can hear the words come from them. I love Jesus and I want to come to him. But through this woman at Samaria, she carried the light to her countrymen. The ministry of healing says this woman represents the working of a practical faith in Christ. In other words, that day Jesus helped her see that entering into a personal relationship with him, that was the only relationship that can define who she is. Do you see what he did that day? He gave her an identity. She didn't know who she was before that day. Everybody sitting in this room today, you should know who you are in Jesus. You should know that you are a precious, precious treasure to him. You know, in fact, he even tells you in the book of Isaiah, he tells you how he feels when someone comes to him that he can use. And I love the language of this chapter 55 of Isaiah. You see, he says, "Seek the Lord while you may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." And then he says this. You see, this is how he feels about a converted soul. At the end of that chapter, he says, "You will go out in joy." Where does that joy come from that you can't contain, that you have to share? It comes from him. "And be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all of the trees." Now get this, kids. Do you know when you come to Jesus? Do you know when you give him your life and you totally commit it, young people, and do it sooner than later? Amen. Do you know that he says that the trees of the field will clap their hands? Can you see that happening? Do you know that is how happy God is when you live a life for Him? All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. That's how happy He is when you meet Him at the well every day and you thirst for Him and you want to spend eternity with Him. But you know, it's even more than that. You know, we can each have that mountaintop experience with Christ. Right? We've all had it. And I don't know who wrote this. The author is unknown. But it says this: I'd love to live on a mountaintop, fellowshipping with the Lord. I'd love to stay on the mountaintop, because I love to feel my spirit soar. But I've got to come down from that mountaintop to the people in the valley below, or they'll never know that they can go to the mountain of the Lord. I love to sing and I love to pray, worship the Lord most every day. But if I worship all the time, there would be no one to lead the blind. Now, I'm not saying that worship is wrong, but worship is more than just singing a song. It's all that you say, and it's all that you do. It's letting God's Spirit live through you. May the Lord bless you as you pray for His guidance. And may He bless you in your journey with Him. In Jesus' name, amen.